podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
I love that song. It tells us the story of our Savior from beginning to eternity. Eternity to eternity and everything in between, and we praise God for our Savior Jesus Christ. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to be reading verses 18 to 23 of Ephesians 1. And if you have a pew Bible, that's on page 827. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Heavenly Father, help us to understand the power of the resurrection, the power of life, the power of our Savior Jesus Christ, and Father, the way that it works even in our world today, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's something about this verse that we just read, Ephesians chapter 1, specifically looking at verse 19, and I want you to see it in a different version. What is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now, it may not be apparent to us just as we read through it, but I've italicized four words for you: power, working, strength, and might, because those four words are four different words in the original language and in the English language here in this translation, but they all basically mean the same thing. They overlap a little bit. It's talking about power. Power. So these four words are dunamis in the Greek language, from which we get our word dynamic or dynamite. Dunamis, which is latent potential power. And you see this power in a lion as it's crouched and about to pounce, or maybe in your house cat as it is crouched and about to pounce. And you see this power in a dam, where the river has been blocked so that a little bit of water can be let through and electricity can be generated. The potential power that is behind that dam that is holding back that water, that is dunamis, the dynamic power of our God. But there's also the word working, which in the Greek is energia or energia, from which we get our English word energy. And this is talking about applied power. It's power at work when we see it happening. If you work with a wood splitter, you see energy being displaced as that anvil comes against the wood, and as the wood explodes and splits into pieces. That is the power, the energy of our God. The third word there is strength, which is the word kratos. And you might think that strength is a human characteristic, and that would be true. But this word actually means power that is under control. For example, you know that if you have ever touched live electricity before, that it can send you off your feet, right? That it can zap you and knock you off your feet. But we take that same electric power, and somehow we harness it through a little wire into a glass bulb across a little filament, and it lights up. And we can see around the room and the great invention of the light bulb. That is kratos power. It's power, strength that is under control and useful. And there's one more word there. It's his might. His might, which is iskus, which means it's the result of the applied power. And we experience this all the time. Some of you remember what it was like to drive a car that did not have power steering. Or maybe some of you know now what it's like to drive a car that does not have power steering. Or maybe you were driving your car and the power steering went out and you had to pull over to the side of the road and you realize this isn't easy. See, we're kind of spoiled by power steering. But the point here is that this iskus power, this might, is the result of the applied power. So each day when you get in your car and you drive down the road and you have the benefit of that power steering, that is power that is being applied and you receiving the benefits of that power. So all four of these words, power, working, strength, might, each have just a little bit of a difference in them in the original language, but they overlap a whole lot at the same time. And what amazes me is that the Apostle Paul here is trying to discuss and explain the power of God in raising Christ from the dead. And he tries in human language to do it the best he can, and he has to come up with four different words for power in order to do it. It's like, pow, 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 pow. He can't totally help us understand what this power is like and how extreme this power is in human language. Our human words can barely contain the whole description, and we can't have a human definition in its entirety that the Apostle Paul has to use as many words as he can combine together to demonstrate power. It is latent potential power. It is applied power. It is power under control. It is the result of that applied power. It is all of that power together. And that is how he describes the power of the resurrection. The power, the working, the strength, the might which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Apparently, raising someone from the dead is a little more difficult than you might think. We've been trying it for a long time now as human beings, doctors, biologists, surgeons, people in the emergency room. You know, we have all sorts of attempts to try to bring someone who has died back to life. But we all realize there comes a time when the line is flat and when the sheet is drawn over the face, when it's done. Death has come. And there's nothing any human being can possibly do about it. It's over. But the power of God is such. The power of God is so strong and so indescribable that for him, it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. After all, he spoke this world and all of the life that teems across the face of this world into existence with a word. With a word. And that's the power of our God. So why does Paul pray that the people of Ephesus would understand and know this power? Why was he praying this? Because this is what he says in verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. I pray that you will understand what this power is all about, he says. Well, first of all, resurrection power confirms the capability of Christ's crucifixion. What I'm saying here is apart from the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his coming back to life and the stone in front of that tomb being blown away, apart from that, the crucifixion's worthless. Jesus' death on the cross is worthless, except perhaps as an example. Except perhaps we would say, here's a man that was martyred. What a shame to lose such a great man who could do such wonderful things. That would probably be the only value in Christ's death on the cross, but because of his crucifixion, because of his resurrection, the crucifixion is capable of so much more. So Paul was writing to some people who were questioning the resurrection, and he put it this way. He says, if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of your sins. What he's saying is, if Jesus is not risen from the dead, if resurrection power has not been applied to this world and to your life, then whatever it was that God did on the cross did nothing for you. It's useless. The power of the resurrection is found in this, that the one who died for your sins rose again from the dead. And as Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, he raised Jesus from the dead, seated him at the right hand, at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all authority and power. He not only paid the price for your sin, he also defeated death in being raised from the dead. We're told that the wages of sin is death, that the only thing we earn in this life from sinning against God is death. That's all we earn in this life. But the gift of grace that comes from God is his forgiveness of those sins and eternal life. And all of those truths are useless apart from the resurrection of the Savior Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 4, verse 25 says, he was handed over to die because of our sins. And, don't miss the and, he was raised to life to make us right with God. So, understand this, if we ever have any hope of being right before God, if we have any hope of our sins being washed away and standing before God complete, it can only be because there is a Savior who is alive and who is raised from the dead. The power of the resurrection confirms that the crucifixion of Christ has been accepted by God as payment for our sin, and apart from the resurrection, Christ's sacrifice for you is powerless. Well, also, resurrection power verifies Christ's victory over death. It verifies Christ's victory over death. One of the greatest hopes that we have as Christians is the hope of the resurrection. Right? Because Jesus said in John chapter 14, before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Because I am alive, you also will be made alive. Because I am resurrected from the dead, and because I live for all eternity at the right hand of the Father, you will be made alive after you have died. The hope of your resurrection begins right there with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so when we come together on Easter morning and we say, he is risen indeed, in addition to that, we recognize the implication, which is, I am risen. I am risen indeed. Because I live, you also will live. We are powerless over death apart from the power of Christ's resurrection from the grave. And we believe that we will live forever. That's what we as Christians do. See, and that our loved ones who passed away in the Lord will live forever, that we will see them again. We believe that there's a day coming when the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will arise from their graves and be caught together with us in the air, and we will spend eternity with God in the place that Christ is preparing for us. These are things that we believe as Christians, and none of it makes any sense apart from a Jesus who is alive. His resurrection guarantees your resurrection. That's how it works. And if he's not raised from the dead, then there's no hope for any of us. Jesus said to a woman in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will live. Never die. Do you believe this? I love that it ends with a question. Do you believe this? Do you believe? Because if you believe in Jesus, Even though you die, you will live, is what Jesus says. Again, none of it makes sense unless Jesus is alive. The resurrection power confirms the capability of Christ's crucifixion, and it verifies Christ's victory over death. It seals it. But third, it proves the promise of Christ's presence. It proves the promise of Christ's presence. Christ cannot be present in our lives today. He cannot be present in our lives today unless he rose from the dead. The promises that Christ made throughout his time here in the world, none of them can come true in our lives, and none of them can be trusted apart from the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There was a great American preacher by the name of Phillips Brooks, who some say was the greatest preacher America has ever produced. But if you go to the Trinity Episcopal Church in Boston, there's a life-sized statue of this preacher. And there he stands with his hand on his pulpit and his arm raised, preaching powerfully the Word of God with the cross behind him. And towering above him is this great cross, because that was the message that Phillips Brooks preached, the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. But you'll notice that there's somebody else in the picture. It's not just this man preaching with the cross behind him, with his hand on the pulpit, with the Word of God open. It's not just that. There's somebody else standing behind him in the pulpit. Now, at first glance, you might look at that and say, well, I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is. Well, the one who made the sculpture wanted this presence to be the presence of Jesus Christ. Standing there, see where his hand is? On the shoulder of this great preacher. You know, perhaps saying to him, you know what, preacher? You may think right now that the words you're saying are falling on deaf ears. You may think that nobody's listening. You may see somebody asleep in the third row. You might think that people are going to walk out of here and they're not going to hear a word you said, and it's going to make a difference for all eternity. But I'm here to tell you that I'm with you. I'm with you, and I'm going nowhere. And the words you speak are powerful words because they come from me. And that is the beauty of that picture. Now, what tests are you facing today? What difficulties are you facing today? You may not be a preacher of the word with your hand on the pulpit and one hand raised to the sky, but you've got a life that you are living right now, and you have difficulties that you are facing, and you have fears that are laid out before you. As you look at your life and the days that lie ahead of you, what is it that you're fearing? What is it that you're worried about? Where does your anxiety and your stress come from this morning? Can you be honest in your heart of hearts and name some of those things? Perhaps it's at work. Maybe it's your relationship at home and your family, your marriage. Maybe it has to do with your relationship with friends and neighbors. Maybe it's an illness that you're facing. Maybe it's the imminent death of someone that you love. You have worries and anxieties that are hovering over you. And I'm here to tell you that this artist's depiction of this preacher is for you too. Because it demonstrates that no matter what you are going through, no matter what you are accomplishing and striving to accomplish in this world, no matter what fears and anxieties you face, Jesus Christ is present with you, over your shoulder, hand upon you, praying for you, loving you, empowering you, working his Spirit through you. Jesus Christ is with you. He is present in your life. Right now, right now. And guess what? If you're a believer in him, he's not going anywhere. You know, you might walk away from him. You might decide that it's too much trouble to follow him. You may be tempted by something the world has to offer, but Jesus isn't going anywhere. If you've put your faith in him, he is present with you. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, Jesus said, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Surely I'm with you. Now, even if your name's not Shirley, he's with you always to the end of the age, that he is with you. Now, do you believe that? This promise, however, makes absolutely no sense if Jesus is still in a tomb somewhere. It only makes sense because he has been raised from the dead. He is present. If you know his presence in your life, it's because he is alive. So the power of the resurrection confirms the capability of Christ's crucifixion. It verifies Christ's victory over death. It proves the promise of Christ's presence in your life and reassures the reality of Christ's return. Throughout the Bible, we see Christ says, I'm coming again. He's coming again. Jesus spent precious hours with his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Not long enough, I imagine, his disciples felt. But then he ascended into heaven. And the book of Acts puts it this way. As they watched, he was taken up and he disappeared in a cloud. They stood there staring into the empty sky. And, you know, what are they looking for, right? Is Jesus going to come back right away? What are they looking for? Are they hoping that he'll change his mind and say, you know what, I can't leave yet, guys. I got to spend a little bit more time with you. Are they hoping maybe that cloud will veer off to the side and they'll be able to catch another glimpse of him quickly? There they are, the writer of the message says, staring into this empty sky, and suddenly two men appear in white robes and they say, you Galileans, why do you just stand here looking up at an empty sky? This very Jesus who was taken up from among you to heaven will come as certainly and mysteriously as he left. I think the emphasis is, if you read through the rest of the book of Acts, it's this. Hey guys, quit staring at the sky. It's time to get to work. There's work to do because Jesus is coming back and there are things we need to accomplish. There are people who need to know about him. We need to be ready and we better get to work. So the power of the resurrection is a guarantee of the power of his return. If there is no resurrection, there is no return. Scripture tells us to expect his return, to look for the signs of his return, to be ready for his return. Scripture assures us that he is coming, that time is growing short. It could be any moment. And the resurrection is the down payment on that return. He is coming. That day is coming. And those who believe and surrender their lives to Jesus Christ look forward to that day because then we will be with him for all eternity. We will experience his presence as we never have before and we will be like him. We look forward to that day, those who have put their faith in him. But those who refuse to believe in him, those who will not put their faith in him, they have nothing to look forward to on that day. Because the same power of the resurrection, that same power we're talking about, is a power that will be turned against all of the evil of this world and those who have refused to believe. The power of the resurrection reassures us that Christ is going to return. And then also the power of the resurrection ensures our expectation of eternity. I don't know if you think about eternity a lot, but it seems like the older I get, I think about it more often. You know, when I was younger, maybe I was trying to put it off a little bit. But when you get older and you start to realize that, you know, you're mortal and you start to see friends that you know, you once lived with losing their lives and you start seeing the hatred and the anger and the loss of this world, you start to yearn for something else. There's got to be something better than this. I've lived long enough now to know that this is not where it's at. This life is not where it's at. There's got to be something so much better than this, and your eyes start to rise up to the heavens, to eternity. Well, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no eternity. Not for you, not for me. Not for him. In fact, look at what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Regarding the question, friends, that has come up about what happens to those already dead and buried, we don't want you in the dark any longer. First off, you must not carry on over them like people who have nothing to look forward to, as if the grave were the last word. Since Jesus died and broke loose from the grave, God will most certainly bring back to life those who died in Jesus. Do you see the connection between the resurrection and eternity? Since Jesus died and broke loose from the grave, God will most certainly bring back to life those who died in Jesus. And Philippians chapter 3 says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. And that is the promise of eternal life. It's always tied to the resurrection. It's always tied to the power of that resurrection. So here's the deal. Your passport has already been stamped if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ. Your citizenship is in heaven. It's all been taken care of when Christ rose from the dead. The same power that rose him up will raise you up. You will live because he is alive. I don't think that I can overemphasize what resurrection power is all about, because the Apostle Paul had to use four different words for power, and I'm sure if he could think of more, he would attack them on too. The power of the resurrection is that strong, right? That it can take the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and make it powerful to forgive your sins. That it can take victory over death. That it can prove the promise of Christ's presence in your life each and every day. That it will reassure you of the reality that Christ is returning, and that it will ensure your expectation of eternity. You look forward to it because Jesus is risen from the dead. The resurrection power has the ability not just to transform your life for the future, a day yet to come, but it also is available right now. Right now. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ is available to you. The question is, have you plugged into it? Have you plugged into that power? Do you have that power source as your very own? Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Isn't that what you want? I want to know Christ, and I want to experience, to make my own, to understand within my own life and with my own self, I want to experience it for myself, the mighty power that raised him from the dead. And Paul went on, I want to suffer with him. I want to share in his death so that one way or another I will experience that resurrection from the dead. So how do you plug into the power of the resurrection? If all of these things are true and you're convinced from the Word of God that all of these things are true, that the power of the resurrection has ratified all of the truth of the Bible, that from Genesis to Revelation, it all matters because Jesus is alive. It would not matter if Jesus were not alive. It would just be an old dusty book to study history from. But because Jesus is alive, it's ratified. It's made real. It comes alive. And if you want to experience that same resurrection power, you can. You can. First of all, the Word of God says all we need to do is to repent of our sins and believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in the person of Jesus Christ. We're not talking about believing a story about Jesus Christ or believing the doctrine or the teaching of Jesus Christ. We're talking about believing the person of Jesus Christ, the very man who came into this world as a baby, lived a perfect life, sacrificed his life on a cross, was buried in a tomb, and then raised again on the third day. We're talking about putting your faith in that man and trusting in him for the salvation of your soul. To say, God, I am a sinner, and there's nothing I can do about it, and I will face an eternity separated from you if I don't plug into the power of the resurrected Jesus Christ. So, oh God, I believe in your Son. And if you will believe in your heart of hearts that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who died on the cross for you and rose again from the dead. And if you will experience the power of that resurrection for your very own, you will be saved forever. Guaranteed by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's something else that's true, however. If you have already put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, which I know the majority in this room have done, that resurrection power is available for you and me every single day. To harness the power of Christ's resurrection and to put it to work into our life is a daily occupation. To wake up in the morning, to take God's word and to say, God, show me what you have for me today. Show me who I need to be, how I need to live in order to say thank you to you for what you have done through Christ. And you know what God has done? He's taken His Holy Spirit and placed His Holy Spirit in you so that you have that resurrection power latent within you and able to be expended in your life. If you will just have the faith to step out and to appropriate it, to apply it each and every moment of your life. The resurrection power is there to be used each and every day. Unfortunately, there are so many who have refused to plug in. Right? They're walking powerless, like the car without the power steering, trying to guide their life with their own effort, and it's so hard. But if we would just come humbly before our Savior and say, I repent and I need you to forgive me of my sins and I need you to fill me with your Spirit and I need you to help me to walk with you day by day by day, He is ready and willing and excited about releasing the power into your life so that you can live for Him. And then one day we'll all experience it together. All of us who have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we are raised from the dead and when we are face to face with our Savior in all eternity, we will know the resurrection power for certain. When we see the resurrected Jesus and when we look at ourselves and say, what do you know? The Bible was right. That stuff that Pastor Jack talked about on Easter 2015, it was true. It was from the Word of God. It was true. Resurrection power has been applied to me, and now I live. And now I live. I pray that you can start your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ if you haven't already. If you're already walking with Him, I pray that the power of His resurrection might be released in your life in a greater way that you might experience it day by day. And then we all look forward to that day. Oh, Lord, come quickly, Lord. That day when we will experience it together, finally, forever. Resurrection power. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and what He did on the cross. And not just that, Lord, but His resurrection from the dead that confirmed that what He did on the cross was for real. Lord, we thank you that today we serve a living Savior. Lord, that we do look forward to the time when we will soar with Him because He has been risen first. The first fruits of those who are being raised from the dead, Jesus is, and we follow. So, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are here today, and I pray if there are any who have not put their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, that they don't know today whether they have that resurrection power to raise them from the dead, that they have not experienced forgiveness from their sins, and the Holy Spirit living within them. Father, I pray that today might be the day that they would step forward and make that decision. Lord, I need to know you. Lord, I'm sick of trying to do this on my own. I need your power in my life. And that they would reach out their hand and grab the hand of the resurrected Jesus Christ, a hand that will never let go of ours. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are here, some who are struggling with difficulties in their lives, some because of the sins of this world, the sins of others, some because of our own sins. Lord, help us to defeat the power of sin and to find victory in our lives because Jesus purchased that victory for us on the cross and by being raised again. Lord, help us today, Father, to embrace the resurrection power that you have provided for us. We pray all this in the name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.